Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's Amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Welcome to Hoovering, the podcast about eating. I'm Jessica Fostercue.
I love eating as much as anything else in the world, but also it sometimes brings me conflict, shame, and all sorts of other things that are rubbish.
It's complicated and I think fascinating. This is a conversation with an interesting soul, not just about food, but about gobbling it up, or if you will, hoovering.
Hello, wonderful ones. This week's episode is with the brilliant absolute force that is journalist Rose Stokes. Dear sweet universe, we really put it to rights. First things first, thank you for listening to the podcast. I'm deeply grateful. Be made up if you would leave it a lush review and subscribe to it as well and tell other people about it. Thank you. If by the end of this episode you've not been inspired to spend all your spare money on a therapist you've always dreamed of, you can support the podcast financially. If you've got spare money that you want to do like a one-off fiver or something, you can do that at Acast Supporter. Go to supporter.acast.com/hoovering. Or there's a link in the podcast notes as ever. Or if you want to become a regular financial helper outer, please go to patreon.com/thehooveringpod, where I swap hoovering related stuff in exchange for as little as $2 a month, like guest recipes. Also, I do like an outtakes thing. For example, like in the conversation you're about to hear, there was like over another half an hour of conversation that it's only not made it into this podcast because of a lack of space. So that stuff all goes exclusively to my patrons, so maybe become one of them. I get all my fruit and veg. These aren't a sponsor, these are just people I love. I get a fruit and veg box called Oddbox, who do basically stuff that's either surplus or too wonky, ridiculously, or too big sometimes for supermarkets. Stuff that supermarkets have rejected or haven't got the space for. It's so good. Everything in it is always so good. Anyway, it's called Oddbox, and they're doing a thing at the moment where until the end of August, so this will be your last chance, you can get a tenner off your first box if you use a code that I've got. I have put it in my bios on my social media, so if you follow at the Hoovering Pod, it's there, and it's also in the podcast notes, but it's too long to read out now. Right, let's have a podcast, shall we? Enough of that bloody admin. Okay, Rose came round to mine for Pringles and wine. Very classy. Hence the sort of increasingly fast talking whirlwind that this becomes. But God, we had a lot to talk about, and I'd go so far as to say shout about. Hello, thanks for coming to my house.
That's okay.
We've already nearly drunk all our wine, so we'll top that up. Especially because it actually makes a really lovely noise, I think, on the microphone. Oh yeah. It's a nice noise. I should have opened the bottle on it, shouldn't I? Especially as it's a corky one, like an old school.
Was it?
Yeah. What is
it? You're fancy, aren't you?
I got a fancy one for you,
Rose. Not even a screw top.
It's a Greco Benevenato. How would you say that? Greco Benevenato. It's a Prodotto in Italian, isn't it? It's an Italian white
so,
wine.
So, do you know, I actually speak Spanish and a bit of Italian, but I don't know how to say it.
This has immediately become very embarrassing.
I'm not going to do it. I think we should move on.
I've got snacks to go with the wine. I know that, especially during a pandemic, you're supposed to give someone their own toothpick to eat olives with. I didn't have any toothpicks. I've just got enormous wooden barbecue kebab sticks. So I've got those. So I thought we could try an olive each of these. My olives were a present.
Ooh,
from
#gifted.
Oh, I've never heard that. #gifted. Oh, I get it. Oh God,
like
it's been a really long day. I get it. #blessed.
Because you're an influencer.
Am I?
Although, can I also just say my favourite joke that I came up with this week, and my boyfriend's gonna roll his eyes when he hears this. But I said to him, "Do you think like if you became an influencer during the pandemic, you could call yourself an influenza?"
Oh dear.
And he was like,
"Get out.
Shut up."
Yeah, get out. Can't believe you're in my home. No, I really like it. Also, because anyone who is an actual influencer really hates being called an influencer. So I've got like a foot long toothpick that I'm going to. So these were a present from my friend Becky Stubbings.
I need to take a photo of this too.
Yeah. Who's. She's a singer called Saint Saviour. I never want to see that. We'll get on to that.
Okay.
And I've got, I love it when, so she's got these from a Turkish shop.
Isn't she about 10,000 different types?
Yeah. Oh, there's thick garlic in them. It's fine, isn't it? Your boyfriend's away.
Oh, fuck that. Wouldn't care even if you were.
Oh, it's so fun trying to stab it with a whole kebab stick.
This is
We've never met before this, and I've served you olives with a kebab stick.
I think we'll be friends for a long time now.
I think we will. I know, we've been WhatsApping before this, and it was like, we've met in another life. You know, like when you see a baby and you're like, it's not there. I remember someone saying it, you see a baby that's got like wise eyes. And I remember once hearing someone say, it's not their first time around. And I was like, I've never believed in any of that shit, but I was like, I like that.
Then you met me on WhatsApp.
Yeah,
and
was like, hang on.
Yeah.
This isn't, we've been friends in as like lemurs or alpacas or rats. we've been friends in our other lives. Pringles I've got very boringly got ready salted. I wanted to get prawn cocktail because I didn't know if you tried prawn cocktail Pringles.
I haven't.
A brilliant comedian called Mark Watson told me that there's prawn cocktail Pringles, and I didn't know that. Do you eat Pringles?
I do.
Okay, so it's not going to work as well with these, so maybe this is a shit test. But because they're really salted, it won't work as well. I don't know if you know this, so how would you naturally go to eat a Pringle?
Like...
Yeah. So you're putting it like...
So not if I'm doing...
So if you had just one...
Mouth.
Yeah, if you had just one, you'd do it naturally, wait, as like the top of the beak, wouldn't you? Right? So it's like the top of a beak.
Yeah.
Okay, let's have one like that.
Okay.
Okay. Mm. It's like a really boring... I mean, it's nice because it's a Pringle.
No.
I'm about to change your life.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Get your second Pringle. Turn it over so it's like smiley face, bottom of the beak. It's very hard to do, like, because it doesn't naturally fit in your mouth that way. But put it so that the top, the roof, the back of the Pringle is the bit that first goes onto your tongue, and you're going to get so much more flavour. Yeah, it's where they put all the salt, all the prawn cocktail, or all the salt and vinegar, or all whatever flavour it is. It goes on the back. It goes on the back, but we are so trained because of the shape of them.
Ah,
they've made them the wrong way up. Yeah. Yeah. That first one was soap. Try it. I'm going in for one the normal way around. It's just like soap. Just lick it if you don't want to. It's like soap on the bottom. It's like so boring.
Because I always thought that it was like a sort of ergonomic thing. Like,
well, they've designed them because it is meant to go in that way, but it's so boring underneath compared to on top.
Right.
Yeah.
You are correct.
Yeah. And I got them because I got some tarallini.
These make you look like posher than you are.
Yeah, they're the Crostra Molica fennel seed tarallini. And I got them because my mum bought me these little bowls. And I thought she'd be so proud if I bought some fennel seed tarallini and put them in a little bowl for my guest.
My next question, where did you go to buy them?
Well, the gifted. Olives were a gift from Becky Stubbings, also known as the amazing singer Saint Xavier. These Pringles were from Tesco Express.
Nice.
Fennel seed tarallini were from the big Tesco in Catford, which is a murderous hole.
Oh.
And it's really weird that you can never call me posh for having got those in Catford Tesco's. Catford Tesco's is like a law unto itself. It's a sociology degree. Every
is it
fucking
like
trip.
The, so I'm in Peckham, and the Asda on Old Kent Road is a ride.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's like the first 5 minutes of your Morrisons. I used to live in Peckham, and that Morrisons. I don't know if it's changed. I was there a long time ago.
I don't think it's changed.
I would. It would take me half an hour to get through the first 5 minutes because there were so many people just really there for a chat with anyone who was on their way in, who was prepared to talk to them.
So I think I've been there for 7 or 8 years.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, there is, like, if you're as antisocial as I am, then you just wear headphones. But it does not make you popular.
Yeah.
And although it is a good Morrison's, though, I have to say.
Oh, it's an absolute great
Morrison's.
I have to say,
I'm here for the supermarket chat, you know.
Lovely. I'm a big fan of supermarkets. I might not get onto anything else. And you've got such brilliant opinions on things, you must.
We went to Brighton last weekend and we walked into, like, this is like the sort of stupid shit that you'd, like, I brag about to my new boyfriend. But, like, we got into, like, Sainsbury's in Brighton and I was like, what are we looking for? And he was like, we need to get some sun cream. And I was like, right, it's in that aisle. And I was like, I was like, so funny thing, I worked in Sainsbury's for 5 years as a teenager, and I know where anything is in any Sainsbury's because they're all mapped out the same.
I'm thinking of you being in, if there's ever set they've done
like a sweep.
No, I was thinking Mission Impossible. They've done enough of those films. They've done enough of those films now that surely Sainsbury's needs to feature in one.
Well, like the Da Vinci's
you need
code,
to be at
like,
least
yeah.
a location advisor,
I
if
mean,
not
to be honest,
as part of the main cast.
When I went, when I go back, I sometimes think life was better then. Mm-hmm. Like this guy actually that I was mates with when I worked there, actually, well, I fancied him, messaged me on Instagram yesterday because he saw one of my
jokes had been published somewhere funny.
And he was like, oh, do you remember when we used to work at Sainsbury's? And I was like, yeah. Do you remember how we used to have 2-hour shifts on a Tuesday and Thursday, so from 5 till 7, and we had like a competition that we would run that was who can go the longest without serving a customer? And we'd do, and we'd both sit there. It was when they had like those quick tills, and we'd sit there and just,
JD Sainsbury's going
to
be turning in his fucking grave.
I used
to
lob stuff on the floor. So if someone was coming towards me, I'd lob something on the floor. Sorry, like grab it so that they couldn't make eye contact. If someone makes eye contact with you, you're done.
Yeah. You're done.
And then they used to get us to, when I then became a checkout supervisor I have no idea.
Amazing,
what they
you
did
accidentally rose up the ranks through
I used to, I literally,
an effort
so,
made
so like,
to
was,
be an EPS.
I was literally 17, 18. It was like everyone's 18th birthdays. On Friday nights, used to go out and get hammered. And then Saturday mornings, they'd get me to open the supermarket at 6:30. Right, yeah. I'd go in. And I remember we used to play like cricket with baguettes and rolls and like loving them at each other and like hitting them back.
Amazing. That at the end of the day that had gone all hard, because I can imagine
at the beginning of the day.
And then sell those baguettes.
Yeah. And you know, sometimes people come to me for career advice now. I just think, how things have changed, you know? Yeah, it's a different time.
Oh, Sainsbury's, at the moment, it's my favourite supermarket. But generally, Lewisham Asda is my favourite because it's the world foods. It's got 2 world food aisles.
2?
Yeah, and you can get 5 kilogram bags of basmati rice for like £3.
Nice. Yeah. I have to say I'm a little gal, which is hard to admit.
It hasn't always got everything on my list, right?
It's hard to admit because me and my brothers used to rip my dad for years for being like, he'd always be like shopping in Lidl, we were like, oh god, yeah, ha ha ha. And then now, and then moved into Peckham, it's like my closest supermarket. I'm like, it's just a cavern of wonder.
Yeah.
And actually, you get used to, so you know that whole economic theory about choice, and when you've got too many choices, you always feel like you've made the wrong choice.
Oh.
Because, yeah, it's a whole thing.
This is juicy. Okay,
yeah. So basically, if you walked into a shop and there was like 10 different types of jam.
Do you know, I regularly think there's too much choice in the world. No wonder everybody's diagnosed with anxiety.
So if you, like, I'm pointing at you with the
yeah,
with the kebab
I liked
stick
it.
Now.
No, yeah, I feel okay. Like you're. And give the woman a left turn. Give her a left turn.
So if there was like 10 jams
yeah.
in your supermarket and you're yeah. standing there and you're like, oh, but I quite like strawberry, but I don't want this brand strawberry because I've heard that maybe they don't pay their workers enough.
Mm-hmm.
And this strawberry looks like it might be a bit better ethically, but oh, is it a sugar? Is it? And like, you're standing there for ages being like, which jam do I get? And like, studies have found, and I can't quote any because this is like...
No, it's
but that if they just had one jam, you'd leave happier with your choice because you didn't have to make a choice.
Yeah.
So Lidl's principle and the way that it makes, apparently how it makes like so much money, it is because they just literally have one of everything.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's a really simple shop, isn't it? My only, I've got a Lidl, I'm in Catford, so I've got a Lidl and an Aldi. Oh yeah, she's bragging. But...
Aldi's good for candles, apparently.
I've got a real problem with candles.
I'm sorry, I did not see that coming. When I walked into that little bit of advice.
I feel like candles are something that you buy someone you don't know or you hate.
Okay.
But I had to eat my words on a job about 2 years ago when I turned up at an acting job and there was a really lovely like little bag of treats from the producers and I didn't have a big part in this thing and I was like, well, that is very nice. And then somebody told me that the candle in it was worth like 40 quid and I was like, I thought, thank you very much, I feel very special. But I still don't, I just don't give a fuck. Yeah, it's in my fireplace.
Did it smell nice?
It smells of laundry. It smells of people who've got money to.
So the thing is, I got quite into candles during lockdown.
Right.
As we've discussed before, we started recording. I had a lot of time on my hands, and I've got an indoor cat, and I'm constantly paranoid that the house smells of urine or feces,
cats,
even
yeah.
though it doesn't, because
no, yeah.
I am so aware of it, and I have I'd say pretty good sense of smell.
Yeah.
But I was so paranoid that I started burning like wax burners and stuff. So now my house just smells glorious all the time.
Okay, fair play. Right, okay, enough about candles. I don't want to not talk about your amazing article that you wrote recently for the Metro in response to the government's like current attempt at making people healthier. Because that's where I discovered you. You basically pleaded with the universe to acknowledge that you can't tell how healthy someone is from looking at them.
Correct.
And are you up for getting into that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's get into it. Presumably, just so everyone's aware, when I walked in, Jess thought that woman is healthy.
Yeah.
When she looked at me, despite the fact I'm overweight, I just give off a vibe of healthy.
There's a theory that language around stuff like that. I think it's been a long, this is not a conversation I'm able to have with myself yet, but I think it's been a long time since I've looked at anyone and my first thought has been their weight.
Well, that's fantastic. So I have to let you on a little secret. I'm obsessed with everyone's weight. Not in a way that I'll ever outwardly acknowledge.
Right, right.
But because I grew up heavier than people around me, it's the thing I notice most.
Me too.
I grew up like benchmark myself against in a negative way.
Right.
And I guess this is like kind of what I was getting at is that like. Essentially, the short story is that I lost a lot of weight, like 4 years ago or something like that. Mm. Lost 5 stone in 10 months, which is a lot. And
suddenly had this body that everyone was like, oh my God. And I wrote a big blog about it and I shouted from the rooftops and was like, hey guys, I lost all this weight. And
oh really?
And well, I had, this is before I was a writer. So right. It's actually how I, it was a sort of first block in me finding out that I wanted to be a writer. But I wrote a blog called Weight Expectations, which is...
Very nice. Oh, very nice. Yep, it's up there with the influencer.
So I used to keep that and I lost all this weight. The thing is that I lost the weight not for very good reasons that I'm not really going to get into, but there was coercion from a prominent person in my life that had made it a condition of our relationship.
Trauma, heartbreak, misery generally had led to a weight exodus.
But I did lose a lot of weight and I did feel really good in myself. But I still see that time as like the most miserable of my life because at the time it led to a breakdown of the relationship that was massively related to the weight loss. And I left the relationship and I remember being so terrified of putting the weight back on, being so anxious and so broken because of all of like everything that had happened that I just wasn't eating at all. And if I was, I was getting my calories from drinking mostly. But even at that time when I was the thinnest that I probably ever will be, like I remember buying size 12 clothes, which for me, like, I can't remember doing that since I was like a teenager. But and I was and yeah, it felt great. But even if I look back at those photos now, I just think, fuck, she's so miserable. Like, I was so miserable because I thought that the point of me was to be thin. And that then the point of me was to sustain this thinness at the cost of anything else.
I think that the vast majority of women who aren't thin, children, girls, and then women who aren't thin, think that happiness lies in thinness. That's drilled into you from as soon as you can understand words.
Well, but and also like everyone in your life endorses it, right?
Yeah, everyone. And still now, like that's still 100. That's still outside of our loop of people like you and I that might have a conversation together, and we've sort of woken up about it, that's still everywhere. I've got a friendship group of some of my dearest friends in a WhatsApp group today where, and we were invited to celebrate somebody's weight loss because they've had a terrible physical accident and are on such extreme painkillers that they've lost their appetite. And everybody was like, oh my God, amazing, well done. And this isn't somebody who, is medically hindered in any way by their weight previously. Right. Like this is someone who was already a size probably 12,
right?
Maybe 10, who's lost another. And everyone was like, "Oh my God, I thought you looked amazing." And I'm not calling any of these people arseholes, by the way.
No.
These are some of my dearest women.
It's not. But it's, even it's,
we are
it's
in a
everyone.
World where it that where I don't think people realise. That kindness and compliments, the toxicity in them, it makes it so pervasive.
But the problem is
what
is
we're
that
doing is saying, we're just adding to this world where it's like your end game for everyone is thinness. I've said it before and I'll say it again. I think if you live like that and you're going to wait, if you live like that, you're never going to be thin. Like you're saying for you, and I know for me, you're waiting to be happy for your whole life.
Yeah, no, 100%. And like, I also, because of like bullshit upbringing, was sort of learned to blame everything on my weight. So I've had a very successful career. Like I've you know, done really well, but it was always this thing that I sucked at that other people could do. And I saw it as a mark of failure.
Mm.
And then I had a lot of trouble believing that I was lovable as a person.
Yeah.
And for years blamed my weight on that. What happened eventually is that I attracted someone who then used my weight as a way of controlling me and it dark tunnels, whatever. But even though I was coerced into losing all that weight and I then broke up with the person, I like essentially realized that I lost the weight and I lost the relationship. So yeah. All of this like thinking that I'd done about like, oh, I will be happy when actually I was happy out, like, and actually are putting a lot of the weight back on. Like, I'm not going to say that I've, you know, seen every pound like arrive and been like, I am totally happy with that. Yep. Like, particularly after lockdown, like, it's been really hard.
It's really hard.
However, I still have to remind myself that I am so much happier than I ever was before. Yeah. Like, and I'm healthier. And the thing is if you look. So I wrote a piece for Women's Health, which in which I actually interviewed a doctor and was like, I said to him, like, from the point of view of your overall health, if you lose weight and then put weight back on, is it worse for your body than just not losing it in the first place? And he was like, absolutely yes.
Really? Just physically? Not even taking into account mental health?
And then I asked him if, like, stress... like the stress of being overweight and living in a fat phobic society would have a negative impact on your health. And he was like, stress is one of like a silent killer. It has an effect on everything. So there's an argument that the stress of living under the weight of everyone else's judgment causes more like pernicious health issues than the weight itself.
Yeah.
And it's so... Oh, I just wish that I didn't realise in my 30s that the point of me as a person was not to be thin.
Yeah.
Like that, I thought that that was the point of me.
Yeah.
And when I lost the weight, I was like, oh, I've reached my point.
Yeah.
And then I was like, but I'm not happy. And I've been taught to think that, you know, that when I reach this like mecca, that suddenly everything's going to be like sunshine, lollipops. Yeah. And I was literally like, I got there and I was like, oh, this is a bit of anticlimax, isn't it? And you know what? Like the main thing that I discovered through that, which made it all worthwhile, is that I totally fell in love with exercise. So, yeah. And I hadn't done that before. And it gave me the confidence to enter exercise spaces and be there and you know, and develop a love for fitness that I had never had before.
Yeah.
That I retained even when the weight came back on.
Yeah.
And for that reason, I will never regret doing it. Because I never regret anything, because what's the point? But, like, I've got, like, far too much other stuff to, like, worry about. But... I just think, it's just such a toxic conversation and, like, it's so, like, when I started talking about this stuff and I've done quite a lot of stuff recently after I had a photo shoot done with Women's Health, I've had loads of people being like, I showed these pictures to my daughters and said to them, it doesn't matter what you look like. And I'm like, oh, my God. Like, when when I was a kid, I just remember so much shame. Like feeling ashamed all the time, and like being having to be really nice to people, because if they didn't like me, then I knew the first thing they would go for is my weight. So being nicer to people even if I didn't like them, so that I wouldn't open myself up to the possibility that they might insult my weight, that constant fear of somebody saying that to you. And the thing is that I always think as well, I don't know, have you ever heard of the phrase toffee? I don't know how to pronounce it.
I've heard it, but I don't know what it means. So I have to look up everything.
Thin outside, fat inside. So basically, I actually think, and this sounds like something, anyway, I'm sure that someone will write in the comments section if there is one under your, like,
there isn't. 100% isn't. I'm not a maniac.
There are comment sections under my columns, but...
We might get a tweet.
Okay, someone that's like, oh, this person's really just, like, making excuses for the fact that, you know, they're fat and...
Oh, no, we won't get that. Not with the people who listen to this.
Okay, that's good.
Oh, no. No, we won't. Not with hoovering listeners.
But like I get this shit all the time with my column and it's fine. Fuck and I'm used to it and like whatever.
It's the problem with having broad appeal, isn't it?
Well, I think the thing is that people will say, so I sort of came around to the idea that, and like, God, my mum's a scientist. I've looked into like, you can just trust that I've looked into food, digestion, nutrition, all of this stuff.
Yeah.
And what I actually think is that fat people or people that put weight on are luckier because putting weight on is an indicator that something that is out of balance in your body, mm-hmm. and it's something that you can see and notice and right. then revert course if you want to, or yeah. if you feel that you can, or whatever. But it gives you an indication that, like, this is like if you have, or like if you lose weight, and this is like
there's a I want you to hold that thought and not forget what you were saying, but there's a really wonderful, like, isn't there like an anthropological, like, truth that historically, if we were like surviving in the wild, you know, cave people evolving, that if you are someone who is prone to gain weight easily, you're going to survive longer.
Of course, yeah.
Like, you've got stores and stocks, unless, to a point.
Unless there's cannibals around.
And then you just look delicious.
And then you just fuck. Weight change... Like, I don't want to get anyone to listen to this and think that I'm saying that putting weight on is necessarily a bad thing. Like, the yeah. majority of eating disorders are actually people that are putting weight on,
yeah.
rather than the other way around. So actually getting healthy from an eating disorder, or recovering from an eating disorder, for a lot of people means losing weight, which I think is something that we don't talk about enough.
Mm-hmm.
But fluctuations...
on this.
Fluctuations in weight... are actually a really handy indicator for you that something's changing in your body. So yes, when my
or
dad,
in your life.
For instance, my dad has I guess cancer. He lost 2 stone, just like really, like he's like always been the same size, just lost all this weight. Was like, oh, I don't know, this weight.
It's a huge clue,
off.
Isn't it? To
but
cancer.
Like, you know, it's actually helpful to have that indicator.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people walking around that like. Are naturally very thin, and they never think that they have to listen when people say healthy, because we've been taught to
equate healthiness with thinness.
And they're like, oh, when people talk about nutrition and healthiness, they're like, well, I'm not fat, so I don't have to listen. And those people are walking around with like high cholesterol, all these things that don't get picked up by doctors. Because another thing that if you're overweight, you'll know, is that every time you go to a fucking doctor, they'll go, oh, do you want to lose some weight? And let's talk about this and that.
Yeah.
But they pay more attention to you because you have this indicator. Whereas there's a lot of people walking around the world that just... I hate the word healthy because I just think it's used so stupidly.
Well, it just means physically healthy.
Well, no, but what
and the whole thing, but it doesn't in life, but it does in terms of what the government is saying in terms of pushing to make the country healthier.
Yeah,
but I mean, it's the thing of a fuck about like the wholeness of.
Yeah, but the stupid thing is, the thing that annoys me, and this is kind of was like the thesis of my like column, which I think you read, is all that's going to happen is you're going to this. Focus on weight loss.
They might be able to cash in on a PR level with a bunch of people who start counting calories, maintain that for however many months, absolute max, that they will do that for, and who lose a lot of weight very fast, who are watching all these programs that they're being commissioned on, losing an enormous amount of weight very quickly, led by people who are, you know, apparently doctors, you know, and they will follow that and they'll do a quick before and after picture, and no one will give a fuck what's happened to them in another year, another 2 years.
But the point is, there's an after and after the after, and like,
yeah.
There's a whole story.
There's a long-term fucking game, and there's an intelligent way of looking at this, but it's not happening.
Well, I think the thing that that upsets me the most is that if you... They had an opportunity to start talking about health as
yeah.
a multifactorial thing,
yes.
right? It is true that there are certain, like... aspects to being overweight that will have an effect on loads of different parts of your health. However, their mental health problems are more deadly in many respects.
Oh, yeah.
And also, we're not even just talking about life and death, but quality of life.
No, like, you can live miserably. You're just living miserably.
Like, I lost weight, I was miserable. When I lost weight, I was, like, consumed by the whole thing. Like, I feel like I only really started living, like, when I... sort of shed all of this. I just woke up one day and was like, oh, I don't fucking care anymore. Like, I literally
was
just
that it? You didn't read something or watch something or have therapy or
Was because I left. So I ditched the boyfriend that essentially
the baddie.
Well, he said that me losing weight was a condition of us staying together.
Oh my god.
Really cool guy. Really cool guy. And after I got out of that situation, I did have a lot of therapy.
Good.
And just by virtue of like the chaos that we live in, the randomly assigned therapist I got is an eating disorder specialist. So she's got like loads of like insight in this stuff. And I'm not gonna, like, we haven't got to the bottom of it because I am in my life always gaining or losing, like in terms of my weight. I haven't got to a stage where I just sort of stay. Mm-hmm. I feel positive that I'm gonna get there. I'm not there yet. I don't wanna like...
What, to find a place that's your plateau place?
Well, yeah, like because in your body. I think I did there for
I mean, in your body, but I had a really big olive pit still there now.
I think before lockdown I was there actually. I was pretty healthy, heavy.
Yeah, me too.
Me
too. I was in the same clothes for a really long time before lockdown. And I knew that I had a very similar but with different catalysts backstory, in the sense that I've always been the biggest person around me growing up. A family of like kind of live people that fluctuate tiny amount, but not just the sort of this random fatter kid than everyone else. Anyway, it's complicated. But when I got to university in London, I moved from a tiny village to central London halls. I was at the time the biggest I'd ever been, but I'd been in this very happy relationship. I was sort of in the countryside, just sort of weirdo. I had a long-term relationship at 15 for a year and a half, and then I had another one, and that one I was so in love and I was so happy. And he was like a model. He didn't know, it was beautiful boy, Tim. He was so, and we're still friends.
Hi, Tim.
Lovely boy. Hi Tim, lovely Tim. But unwittingly, like without, who knows what was going on, I put on stones and stones and stones in that relationship. Anyway, when I got to university, he took a gap year and went travelling and I didn't. And it was my first heartbreak. And I remember at the time, his lovely parents saying to us, you'll have this so many times in your life. And me thinking, you bastards. Because I might kill myself. But I was just so sad, but also excited for this new beginning. And what better thing than to throw yourself into a brand new life? And then a lot of stars aligned. So it was a brutal heartbreak, a very difficult degree that I wasn't very good at for the first year. I worked very inefficiently. I worked very long hours. I was working, I'd get up at 8 a.m. and no one else was doing that. We were students.
What did you study?
Law.
Oh.
And I'd work until 1 a.m. and I'd play hard too. I'd like go out, drink loads and come back and try again to read the thing I didn't understand. Like I was just, it was so inefficient. Anyway, I also had a routine in my life in a way that I'd never had before. I'd always had parents working either away or on shifts. I was on my own a lot, I was an only child. And suddenly I was in these catered university halls where I also worked in the kitchen. So I knew how disgusting the food was in the kitchen
Right.
So I had the same thing for breakfast every day. I had a huge breakfast. I had like loads of things, but I had all the breakfast things. But by come dinner time, it was basically only really safe to have a jacket potato. So I had that with something different in it every day for a year. Most days I had a super noodle, packet of super noodles with some cucumber for lunch. But I was running on adrenaline the whole time. Yeah. I started going to the gym, but I didn't know what I was doing in there. I just sort of making my own way around. Occasionally I'd use a weights machine and think, this is fun, but you better get back on the cardio thing you hate MTV with your head. But it was a pattern and it was a routine. It was almost like a kind of funner version of a prison life. It was so routine. It looked like a prison, the halls, and it smelled sick. It was fucking awful.
God.
And it was so expensive. Anyway, I lost about 5.5 stone.
Fuck.
And the way I was treated then, and this was what I'd always wanted, and I had comments from people I dearly love, you know, family saying like, oh my God, finally, for the first time in your whole life, you've got a flat tummy. And I went through years afterwards, decades afterwards, longer, where I'd look at photos then and be like, oh my God. And I don't anymore. Like
I do that.
But only because I can sort of work out what's going on. I know that in the moment, a lot of me felt great. But I feel wise enough to have remembered the conversations that made me go, hang on. Like, I'd had conversations with people who'd be like, oh, this boy in halls would say to me, oh my God, I told my mum about your weight loss because I think it's incredible and she just needs to do it. You are like a different person.
Oh my God.
I know. And I was like, and this is an 18-year-old boy, you know, 19-year-old boy. And I remember saying to him,
Also, like, who the hell goes to uni and loses
weight? Fucking mum about their fucking weight. But we did call his nickname was already Fascist Dave because he liked Thatcher. And we'd often egg his door. Anyway, he.
I
remember so offended. I was like, what do you mean I'm a different person?
Yeah.
I'm exactly the same person. I remember that hitting me like a fucking train. Like, oh, I am a still person. I'm still me, or whatever version of an 18-year-old has a clue who they are. But I was like, oh, I do.
You'll love this though.
Whatever happens to your shell, you're not. It's other things that fundamentally change you.
It's like, I lost all this weight while in a relationship, and then when we broke up, I was just a bit like, what the fuck? And I remember I was out one night in Peckham, and I saw a guy that I used to sleep with, essentially, before I met my ex.
Yeah.
And he was there, and he was like, oh, hey, haven't seen you for ages. So I was like, yeah, I haven't really been around. Anyway, short story is that we ended up having sex. Yeah. And I, the whole time, was like, so, how much hotter am I? Am I hotter? Yeah, I'm so much hotter, am I? Like, and literally, he just stopped half a row and was like, he was like, you keep mentioning the weight, and like, fine, but he was like, I just want you to know that, like, I fancied you then, and I fancy you now. And, like, there's no more fancy or less fancy. I just fancy you.
I really like him. And I like this guy.
No, he's a good guy. Like, terrible. We're terrible for each other.
I thought you were about to say terrible at sex.
Oh, no. Right, like, he's one of those people that you just have sex with and you're really drunk. But, yeah, like, literally, for me, I was like, what? Like, I remember going home. And, like, even, like, my boyfriend now, like, the other day I was like, oh, I'm freaking out about my weight because lockdown, da-da-da. And he was like, and then he texted me back like 10 minutes later, and he was like, babe, I'm so proud of you. You've achieved so many things and you're like smashing it at life. And I was like, why did you say that? And he was like, I just don't want you to think that this small part of you is worth more than all of the other shit that you do.
Yeah.
And
oh my,
like,
God, it sounds like a fucking keeper, mate.
It's going to go straight to his head. And you still have to work.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Did you watch the video that Boris Johnson did?
About running?
About how he'd lost a bit of weight and how he'd been running. And
I'll tell you my thoughts on this, and I don't know if we're on about the same video. I'm trying to write some stand-up about it because it made me really, really tickled. Didn't make me raging, it made me tickled. Where he's got his doggy with him.
Yeah.
And he's out walking and he's talking about, I'd go for a run.
I've never lost all this weight.
Yeah, I've lost all this weight.
There's nothing between. It's not because I almost died, it's because I've been walking.
And he basically said, when I got COVID-19, I was way too fat. I was just way too fat. I was this many stone, whatever. Anyway, the bit that stuck with me from that fucking video, if you're trying to make your nation healthier, is that he, throughout the video, is walking, but talking about running. Get fucked. Let's see you run. Let's see you fucking run, BJ. And then, This for me was the standout sentence. And as women who have been had the joy of discovering a type of moving their body that they love, I fucking love lifting weights. He said, and I do think that's it. Like, I think if you want people to enjoy movement, you need to sell movement. You need to sell
but
the fact that probably...
Don't attach weight to it.
Don't attach weight to it. If something's punitive, if something's torturous, if something's not fun, it's not sustainable. You literally need to sell... Because there's probably a type of movement that even if it's... I genuinely mean, like, I'm unpatronising it. I mean, walking, stretching... Just anything that makes you aware of your muscles is going to make you feel more alive. And there's millions of people who haven't found that thing. I do think most people, there's probably something that's going to make them go, oh, God, that felt nice. That felt nice.
Like
that felt
swimming,
a little buzz.
Swimming was always my thing.
I loved swimming for years. Anyway, he says in his video, I get up in the morning, I go for a run, and that's the worst bit of my day over. This is a man whose job... is governing a country on the brink of the most catastrophic economic collapse in all of history. That's riddled with a never-ending deadly pandemic that's killed how many 60,000 deaths.
That's the worst part.
And the worst part of his day is a fucking quick waddle.
You've got to feel sorry for him. You've got to.
What an amazing advert for exercise.
Oh God! Like that's to be fair.
He's a fucking glistening ball bag of a fuck muppet cunt. I hate him.
I've literally never said anything positive about him in my life, but I did think that. I fell for it, Jess, and you've just made me realise.
Sorry.
Just that he came and he was like, look, I'm a person that's been fat. Like, I understand. And I did feel like he was a little bit like, he owned it a little bit and was like, look, I know what it's like. It is hard. And like, I did feel like.
Well, he probably will lose a bit of weight now.
And he'll put it back on again.
Yeah, and he'll pop it back on again. When and that would have been worse than not bothering.
But the thing that annoys me, and I said this in my article that I think is the one that you read, is that like, we are in a pandemic. Correct. We are also in the middle of a mental health crisis.
Yeah.
All that we're going to do by, like, so yes, it's true. There is evidence and there are outcomes, like medical, like research that says that if you have a higher body fat percentage, certain things will be harder for you medically. Weathering a, like, COVID might be, like, statistically, you might be more at risk. Okay, so that's fine. And people should know that. And
it's
if they want to, like...
It's questionable, though, isn't it? Compared to other factors. But anyway, yeah.
Fine. Okay.
If you want to
say, if you want to say, okay, fine. That's one thing,
yes,
right?
Yeah. If you want to go, if you're really, 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 really fat, might have more complications from COVID.
Yeah. And also, and the thing is that, like, basically, his whole spiel on, like, protect the NHS, right, is, to me, a laugh, but not a good laugh. Because it's, like, so we're in the grips, like, I mean, I'm sure you could name five people straight off the bat in your life that could benefit from having therapy that can't access it because the NHS is overburdened.
100%.
Right? I think everyone knows those people. I was one of those
way
people.
More than
and
five.
I like fund myself and I can't afford it, but sure, you know, this is like, is this like the sort of new version of a champagne socialist? Like a therapized.
Yeah, maybe.
Like literally. Lefty. I spend all my fucking money on therapy. Like, that is my biggest outlay every
I am,
month.
For the first time in my life, I currently am spending more on my physical health than my mental health.
Oh, wow.
But only because I've joined a CrossFit gym.
Oh, God.
Just to be the class clown. I just want to tell you this, and then we'll get back into the serious stuff. There's a move you have to learn where you lift a barbell up. At this point, with very few weights on it. No, the big long one. Big guy.
Like a bench press.
Like the dead lefty bench pressy one. You lift up off the floor, you deadlift up off the floor, and you sort of pull it up very quickly to up very close to your body to just above you, to round your neck, basically. And I did that in a class, and it bounced off my gut and into a crowd. and I was telling the story and reveling in the story. I've bounced 40 kilograms off my gut and into a crowd, and I don't think my girlfriend believed me. And then it turns out there was an actual bruise at the underside of my belly. Hashtag this girl can't. No, she can. She can. She can.
Do whatever
she can. She fucking can.
But yeah, no. Just round off.
Sorry.
In a context.
Yes.
Because I'm on my fucking soapbox now, and like, yeah, so yeah, help yeah, me yeah, God.
Yeah. Sorry for interrupting it always.
Like basically, if you look at our mental health, like services and how they're struggling to accommodate, like. The demand, the massive demand of loads of people that just can't access therapy, like, and if you like, okay, so I used to work at The Economist. I don't know if I'm supposed to name drop or can name drop.
Yes,
I
please.
Spent many years analysing reports about economic, like looking at a country's finances and understanding yeah. how economics works. So I can speak pretty confidently. Yeah. Right? The one thing that economics is about, it's about relationships between one thing and another. One thing, and about short-term, medium-term, long-term, like, is, like, effects on how one type of spending can then, you know, stop you having to spend money later or so on and so forth. And the cost-benefit of this, so yes, you may save some lives and or reduce the burden on one part of the NHS, but teaching people that they are, like, doing damage to the NHS if they're overweight
yeah.
will cause them more emotional problems in the long run.
Yeah.
That will probably, like, we know as and we know how difficult, like, you know, eating and weight and whatever can weigh on your mental health.
Mm-hmm.
You're just shifting the burden to another part of the NHS. And so, yes, when you look at that section of the NHS and, like, intensive care and whatever, you might have a numbers shift, and then they can go, oh, look how we did this thing and some numbers changed and they went down and whatever. But if you look at the whole picture, you'll see that in other areas, people, like, will have to spend money because, like, it's just not as simple. It's not long-term thinking. The best way of dealing with something like this is teaching people that it doesn't matter how you fucking look. You should exercise to enjoy it. The thing that yeah. annoys me the most is I never realised how enjoyable exercise was until I was thin.
Right.
And it, I
because
never,
you felt welcome there.
Because
all
I
of
felt
a sudden,
there.
You could, yeah.
And because, and
what
because
a fucking head fuck. What an absolute head fuck.
Isn't it?
Say scrum diddly umptious. And then you can be in my podcast.
But the point is that when I was told I couldn't exercise, I just was like, well, fuck this. And then I started eating to comfort myself.
Yeah.
And couldn't exercise and was just like, I'm miserable. And like, surprise, surprise, none of my clothes fit now. Yeah. And that's a shit feeling as well. But yeah. I'm kind of grappling now with the whole, how do I get this all back? Because another thing is that I'm now pain-free in my neck, almost. But my muscles are, like, really fucked from, like, all of the weird shit that you do when you're injured.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to be a real grown-up, and instead of just getting straight back into running,
yeah,
I have decided to spend the next month doing strength exercises, so that I'm building my strength back up, so that when I start cardio, I'm not just going to immediately injure myself.
Mm.
But God, I'm literally just like, oh God, it was easier. Right, like this is, okay, I'm about to say something controversial. Part of me is like, it was easier before body positivity because at least I knew how to hate myself.
Yeah.
And it was like very simple.
Yep.
But now I'm like, and by the way,
I think this is such a
just
valid
want to say, tap, tap, tap. I'm not saying that it's good, but I'm saying it was simpler because I knew that I had to lose weight, and that was just one, like, voice in my head that was like, this is the thing to do.
Yeah.
Now I'm like, but shouldn't I just feel okay about the fact I put weight on?
So listen, I think this is it, and I think this is the rub, and I think this is everything right now, is that we are in this very complicated world where body positivity has done all this wonderful stuff for us, and we've learned and intellectualised our way around at the absolute truth of health at every size. We really have, because we know whether we're healthy or not, and actually our size isn't necessarily that relevant to that. That's a bare, like, it's a naked, great big sprawled out fact. What we've not done is address the fact that body positivity has also given us icons who essentially have sold us the idea that you have to love yourself in whatever body you're in, which for, I think, the vast majority of people is unattainable. Like, I would lick Lizzo's feet, even if she just wet herself. But she does have a song about you are supposed to want to marry yourself. Fuck yourself, marry yourself. Like,
I think we've all fucked ourselves a few times.
Well, let's hope so. God, we're all adults. But I do think that there's something unhelpful, and it's not the first time, and it won't be the last that it comes up on this podcast, about the idea that body positivity kind of requires such an inordinate level of self-love that we then think when we put on weight and feel shit about ourselves that we're a terrible cunt or a shit feminist.
But I don't love anyone else's body like that.
No,
I don't love bodies. I love people like that. So it's kind of weird to say to someone, like, the way that we're taught to love each other is through who that person is.
Yeah.
But then body positivity sort of... And like, to be honest, it's one of those things where you have, like, two things that are really on level. You have to go real hard on that one before it's going to, like... to sort of balance things out. I think there's, like, a lot of... You know, I think now is the time when these interesting conversations are starting to come out of the, like, you know... A lot of people are having the same thing. It's like, well, I was taught to hate myself and to be thin. Now I'm being told to love myself
and stay as big as I can get.
But actually, I know, and I know this well, and I know this really confidently, that I am not the weight that I want to be.
Yeah,
and I don't feel good in myself.
Yeah.
And I now know. And now I don't know.
We're also both saying that as women who have no aspiration to be thin.
No.
By any objective
standard. I just want to go back to what I was like before lockdown.
Yeah.
Because I was exercising regularly, I felt, you know, I feel like I'm on top of this.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like, you know, and I feel like I lost that. And now, as with anything with size and weight or whatever, it feels so insurmountable. The whole... Like, it's like you're standing in front of a fucking massive mountain and you're like, how do I scale it? Like, because now I'm like, well, I can't just go on a diet, can I? Because if that takes me to the bad place? But I need to reduce my... Because, like, let's be honest, the only way to lose weight is to reduce your calorie intake or increase your, like, exercise. You need to be in calorie deficit. That's how you lose weight. How do you do that and be body positive?
And be like woke. It's not even body positive. I'm in exactly the same place, but I can't go on a diet. Like, I can't go.
I know. Me too.
I can't.
It keeps me awake at night at the moment,
it keeps you awake.
Last night, I literally did not sleep because I was lying there thinking,
the energy that's being consumed by our brilliant, brilliant minds about our bodies. It's a fucking travesty.
It's awful. Like, because I've seen, last night, and, like, I was lying there and I was thinking, I can't go on a diet, but I want to lose weight and I want to change the way I'm eating, and how do I do that without restricting? And, like, it's just like, it's just too much.
What I think the answer is, potentially?
Go on.
And it's going to sound horribly body positive. Slim fast.
No, I'm
joking. Fucking imagine.
Pyros, I think the solution to you.
Can you imagine this far down the line?
That'd be a right turn.
My fear, because I'm not there yet, is that it is making peace with whatever situation we're in now. Imagine if we were able to go, well, this is, they said, imagine if this is the natural bit, this is the bit that it came back to, because also that's going to shift as our lives change and we get older, and perhaps our lives are less active because of work, because of the nature of the pandemic going on for years. Like, I think there might be an element for me of going, I think I probably just have to buy the clothes that fit, make your peace, see what happens.
See what happens
as your life and your world gets more active.
But I actually
naturally think,
do you know what? Like, for me, one thing that I've noticed has really been a harmonizing influence is being with someone who loves me and is, like, very, doesn't see that as such a big thing. And like one thing that my best friend, my long-suffering best friend, was literally born 6 days apart. Like our mums were friends in the NCT. She is naturally very thin.
Yeah.
Like we eat, like we love eating together. Like if we eat, like she's the person that's like, she's got two kids and like she'll ring me up and she'll be like eating like a Kit Kat chunky and she's just like, yes, hun. Like, but if we ate the same, I would put on weight and she wouldn't. Like right, different yeah. bodies, right?
Yeah.
And it has been so hard for her, I think, seeing me be so horrible to myself all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, and I try, and now that she's had these two kids, and these two kids, like, I'm like, they're not my fucking kids. Like, I love those kids. Yeah. And they see I'm trying to love. Actually, here's a thing.
Yeah.
Let me start our own fucking movement. I want to love myself the way that a little kid loves me.
Mm.
Not like anyone else that's just like, you're a fun, great beacon of light. You don't look like anything. I don't know yeah. how, like, that's the kind of self-love I would like to aspire to.
I'm in my tum.
A mystery ghost does a spell that makes all hooks unfurl. It sounds fine, but actually loads of heavy stuff falls on stages, dockyards, all hair goes straight. Pirates are fucked. It's an awful existential nightmare. The ghost agrees to undo that nonsense, but only if you, and with it does have to be you, Rose, deep sea dive down to a shipwreck and bring up 100 treasure coins, but one coin at a time, and it takes all day. It sounds impossible, but you do it. You're a hero. Okay. Your award is a place in history as the woman who saved us all from the absolutely terrible mystery ghost spell, where nothing was ever curly again. But
I don't know what's happened.
Your reward in the moment is the feast of your dreams.
Oh, okay.
But because of everything that's happened to you with the deep sea diving, you are
famished.
And with that, you're famished, you're starving, but also you're so high because you're like a hero of okay. the universe.
Okay.
You're like, you know,
I've saved everyone.
So, so famous yeah, 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 for such a great thing. Such a cool, weird, great thing. Yeah. You're never going to be forgotten. This is enormous. So you're the happiest and hungriest you can ever imagine.
It's basically how I feel after doing a podcast.
Yes, please. I want to know what you would eat, what you would drink, and who with and where, if there's a who with and where. And I don't, probably with you goes without saying, I don't give a fuck about whether it's ethical or healthy. And I actually don't care if it's possible. It can be totally fantastical if you want.
Oh, this is so fucking lame. Are you ready?
Yes.
It's so lame. Like, my literal dream situation, and I do it often, is sitting on a sofa with my best friend, eating chocolate, drinking tea that she has made.
Yes.
And laughing at her husband.
Oh, yeah.
Literally, the two of us, like, poor fucking lad, like, during lockdown, because they met when we were at school. I've known him for, like, half my life. Like, during lockdown, when I was like, things are getting weird, like, she would, like, video chat me, like, 3 times a day just to check that I hadn't, like braided my own hair or, like, I don't know, like,
I love
just,
it,
like,
that's your epitome of, like sending the troops
or, like, I mean, obviously I've had mental health problems in the past, so, you know, keep an eye on me. And so she'd, like, video chat me when she was, like, then she, my favourites, they'd literally just be like, hey kids, Auntie Rose is on the video, and they'd be like, and you could just see them in the background, and I'd be like, and I remember her son's been going through this phase where he just asks questions, all the fucking questions.
Is he about 4 or 5?
And I said to him, he's 3 and a half, and I said to him, Arlo, you can ask me any question you want. Any question. Like, what do you want to ask me? And he was like, literally, that was it. Finished it. Anyway, we got to the stage where we couldn't even be fucked to make conversation on these things. So one Friday, it was like VE Day when all the, like, gammons were out, like, celebrating, including my dad, sorry. And I video chatted her. I just called my dad a gammon. He's a Labour voter. Anyway, I video chatted her and she literally picks up the phone, she goes, what? And I was like, oh, I know, but I'm just sitting here, like, being mental. And she was just like, oh, Dan and I are just eating chocolate and wondering why we had two kids. And just watching the TV and it's VE Day. And literally, I just sat there watching it with them. I put it on in my room in London. And me and Maddie would take the piss out of Dan. And then Dan and Maddie would take the piss out of me. And it was literally like I was just sitting there. And it wasn't even, we weren't talking about anything.
And that same week,
we started doing like our Sainsbury's orders together on the phone. Just because it was like, what else do you talk about? And she's like, have you got cheese? I've got cheese. What have I forgotten? Oh, Dan's like, oil. Literally, my most happy place is doing nothing with my best mate, and as long as she's made the tea, because she makes a very good cup of tea and some sort of chocolate.
Yeah,
literally. Yeah, I'm a simple lady.
What a dreamy answer. Thank you so much for doing this.
Of course, thanks for having me.
Delicious. What an absolutely belting guest. Thanks to Rose for doing that. Follow her at Rose Stokes, RoseStokes, for updates on everything that she's writing. She's constantly got articles coming out that are absolutely blinding. The article that inspired me to beg Rose to Hoover with me is on Metro. It's Googleable. But as ever, there is a link in the podcast notes, which should be available wherever you get your podcast from. Anything in capitals in my podcast notes is always a link. So feel free to support the podcast with lovely reviews and recommendations, or telling other people about it. Thank you if you're already doing that. Or you can support it with cold hard money, either on Acast supporter for a one-off help, or on Patreon to become a regular patron. Links again in the podcast notes. Make sure you're following at the Hoovering Pod to find out everything that we're up to and not miss out on anything. Follow me as well if you want, at Jessica Foster Q. Anything longer than a tweet, email me through my website, jessicafosterq.com. Huge thanks to Acast for hosting the podcast. Hoovering is produced by Emma Corsham and the music is by Mike Greenway. Until next week, happy Hoovering.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.